Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour.
Important everyone is in the kingdom of God. You think about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
every yeah. joint supplies. There's mm-hmm. no little I's or little me's or little everyone's important. You know, Ephesians 4:16 says that from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament mm-hmm. grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
That's
and it's
right.
like, man, there's no insignificant parts. It's just a lie of the enemy that'll tell you that you're insignificant in God's kingdom.
That's right.
It's just a lie of the enemy because we all need each other. That's the whole thing. It's all of us coming together, praying together, mm-hmm. functioning as the family of God together, advancing the kingdom of God together.
Right.
And we all are not called to do everything. I mean, God's, you know, Jesus gave the gifts to the church, the, you know, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the mm-hmm. teachers, the evangelists, the five finger hand of God, as they call it sometimes, which is the offices in the church. But they're to prepare God's people mm-hmm. for works of service. They're not supposed to do all the works of service. They're preparing. And that's what the church is. It's a family. It's mm-hmm. we're working together.
Right.
No little eyes. No big eyes, no little eyes. It's all one family under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But it's so important because it's just what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to minimize, you know, who you are, what God's doing in your life, and I'll tell you that you don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
When my goodness, Jesus Christ died for you.
Right.
You matter a whole lot. You're very important to Jesus.
That's right.
And you're very important to the kingdom of God. You know, we all can do something. And I encourage you, you know, you get involved. Get involved. Share your testimony. And oftentimes people say, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. And they're maybe thinking of, they, you know, I can never do. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that you could ever do, like one of the greatest things you could ever do, is share with others what Jesus has done for you. In fact, I had a chance to talk to Darlene. Darlene, I'm giving you a shout out there. Talked to Darlene this weekend, and she was telling me her amazing testimony on how God set her free, man. God set her free over 8 years. She, you know, she had just battled drugs and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and she's just having a hard time. And she, I mean, just to see it in her eyes, man, it was so awesome. She says, you know, God set me free, and I'm not ashamed. Let me tell you, God set me free. And
wow.
It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful when God can just set you free of anything that you're battling, any sin, anything that's designed to you know, by the enemy to wear you down and pull you down. You're not what you're being attacked with. That's such an important revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy would try to take it out and saying, you're this, you're that. It's like, no, you know, I'm a child of God. You know, and if you've asked the Lord to forgive you and you've repented of your sins, you're forgiven. You know, if you prayed with all your heart and you meant it and mm-hmm. you weren't giving God lip service, don't believe the lies of the enemy.
Right.
Which, let me tell you, the enemy is sowing a bunch of lies these days. I mean, he is sowing a bunch of lies. And the things that were coming on the face of the earth, the things that we're facing and going to be facing, we need to know God, man.
Right.
We need to have a serious relationship with him. And I was thinking about this, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about in the day of disaster,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need encouragement. And
yeah.
I want to share some encouragement. We need encouragement because in the day of disaster and trouble and uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
We need to know in these shaky and uncertain times, the one who is certain.
Right.
The one who changes not.
Right. Right.
And so it's so important for us to continue to trust the Lord. It's important for us to know who he is. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things is that we may be surprised when things happen. We may be surprised when disaster may suddenly come upon us. But you know, God's not surprised.
No, he's not.
And God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow,
right,
all at the same time.
All at the same time.
All at the same time. And so, you know, if you're listening today and maybe you're facing a disaster, you're facing a challenging time. You know, a disaster is a calamity, an event, especially one occurring suddenly and causing great loss or damages or hardship. Mm-hmm. You're facing a disaster today. I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you today. We want to add faith, encourage, and add faith to you today. Because God is faithful. I mean, we have millions of people today that are out of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. If you're out of employment, if you've been discouraged and you're facing a disaster today, let me tell you, God is able. And we have folks that are sick in your body. You know, I'll never forget when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, we got this report. I mean, he was in stage 4 cancer and didn't even know he had, I mean, just didn't even know it. And the doctor told him, it's, you know, when you get these type of reports, and you know, my experience has been sometimes that, you know, doctors don't necessarily are so forthright in coming. I don't know why that happens, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I would say, just give it to me straight, doc. Give it to me straight,
right,
you know? But this doctor gave it to us straight, and he told my dad, he said, listen, I don't know how to tell this to you, sir, but you have 1 month to a year to live.
Wow.
And you're just like, wow, you know,
wow,
take that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him and I having this discussion that night when we got back. We're just talking and having some dinner. He says, I don't get it. I just don't get it. He says, I feel fine. How could I be sick?
Right.
How could I be sick? And he went through, you know, a series of treatments and stuff like that. And I tell you, but the Lord healed him. He went to a time of healing, which was really tremendous.
Oh, wow.
11 years of healing, which was great. They told him that he was going to die. Now, listen to this. 1 month to a year. Okay?
Wow.
In fact, what happened was he had bone cancer, stage 4.
Huh.
He fractured his hip and didn't even know how he fractured his hip. Can you imagine?
Wow.
So he goes into this pain, and the doctor says, listen, you know, we can put a new hip, you know, for you, but it could take you 6 months to recover. And our concern is that you're going to have radiation on that leg, and you just don't know how this thing is going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor looked at him and says, do you really want to spend the next 6 months of your life? You know, you have a year to live. You want to spend 6 months of your life trying to recuperate? And, you know, this is a very serious question. But if my dad locked into what the doctor was saying, that you have 1 month to a year to live,
right,
if he would have locked into that, if he would have locked into that report, I'm talking about facing the day of disaster, facing the time of trouble, facing time of calamity and hardship and shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he would have locked into that, he would have said, you're right. You're right, doc. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just hobble along and, you know, not go through this. He says, no, I want to go through the surgery. So I remember driving him down to Chan's,
wow,
down in Gainesville, and he's having a surgery done down there. You
wow
know, or actually he got some special testing or something down there.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, gets a report, and just, I mean, prayer, and we just gave it to God and just prayed over him. Man, 11, 12 years, I believe.
Wow.
11, 12. He, I mean, went through the chemo, went through everything. It was probably one of the best, it's probably the best decade that he's ever lived. I mean, he's had some challenges throughout his life, and I mean, going through that trial,
mm-hmm,
I mean, it was amazing. All the things that God restored in his life, restored our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, it was just restoration everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, if you're going through a sickness today, if you've been dying, let me tell you, God is the healer. The great physician can touch you. He can heal you. He can not just heal you physically, but he can heal you emotionally. He can heal your mind. He can touch you from the inside out. And you got folks, Pat, that are dealing with loss of marriage. You know, oftentimes someone says that, you know, that I've heard them say, and we've talked to them, that going through a divorce sometimes it's like going through a death. because they're losing that type of a relationship, and you have children involved, and sometimes kids don't understand that, you know, it's calamity, or you're going, you know, you have love, going through financial ruin, you know, and that's a tough thing. Or maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe someone you love is away and incarcerated somewhere, and just there's just so many things you could just go on and on and on and on and on and on about. Right. But let me tell you something, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. I mean, we list these things because I want to relate to you and want to connect with you, because you may be going through something today, and I want to tell you that it ain't over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Let me tell you, God is still on the throne. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the very little hairs on your head at any given moment. And let me tell you, He's not left you. He's not left you. And often, you know, people say, you know, where's God?
Mm-hmm.
He's right here. He's right there in your life. And He's so close, you can reach out to Him. The Word of God says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You know, everyone wants a testimony, Pat, you know, but nobody wants to go through the test.
Nope.
You got to go through the test. I always say, if you don't go through the test, all you got are the monies. You got to have a testimony.
Yeah.
You got to have a testimony. And God can pull you through. He can pull you through, but you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. You need some things to be able to make it. I'm going to tell you now, if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it's time. There's nothing like a sobering moment. There's nothing like a time that kind of knocks you off of your rhythm a little bit, kind of just pushes you off of your course, and where you're just realizing, wait a second, you know, God's got my attention. And I often say, you know, don't waste this trial. Why waste the trial? Why waste going through a tragedy, a calamity, a disaster, an uncertain time in your life without fully reaching out to God? And I'm not talking about reaching out for His hand,
mm-mm,
right? I'm talking about reaching out for His face,
mm-hmm,
to seek God. Let me tell you something. We're going to be facing some challenging times, but we can get through it with God alone. And God says, listen, man should not live by just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you got to know Him, and you can get to know Him. You can get to know Him. I mean, oh my goodness, man. I often think about, I mean, the greatest miracle that God can ever do is the miracle of you coming to God.
That's right.
And it's the greatest miracle. Mm-hmm. You making Him your Lord and Savior. I remember walking on a college campus when I was just crying out to God. A calamity was going on in my life. You know what I'm saying? Just crying out to God. And I remember saying, God, I need to know. I need to know, like, the grass is green, like the sky is blue, like my name is John.
I
need to know. You know, I've heard of you. I've heard about you. I've heard the stories. But let me tell you something. When you're going through something, that's not enough.
Mm-mm.
It's not enough to know of Him or about Him or to have someone else pray for you. You can talk to Him. I said, God, I need to know. And I've one of the things I used to say many, many times, and I still say it today, be careful of what you ask God, because He might just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And God knew my heart, but I didn't want to settle for religion. And I didn't want to settle for this idea of God. I didn't want to settle for, you know, knowing of Him and about Him. I had came to a point in my life that I was going through so much. And I said, listen, you know, I'm like, I am at a point here. I said, God, I need to know You. And man, He made Himself so real to me.
Mm.
He made Himself so real to me. Wow. I remember, you know, and God's just reminding me now, you know, I remember when I heard God's voice for the first time. You know, I was crying out to God, and I received prayer. I actually came to God, and someone prayed for me. I went to go shake the minister's hand, you know, doing the cool thing. I was Mr. Cool Guy at that time, you know. So I go to shake the guy's hand, and just to say, you know, thanks, preacher man, you know, whatever. Thanks for this great message or something. You know, I didn't know what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to shake his hand, and all he says is, more Lord. That's all he says. Man, I fall down to the ground, and oh my goodness, my whole body just started shaking. I just couldn't believe this. And I start bawling. I mean, bawling, bawling. This is like in front of just, you know, a crowd of people.
Right.
You got to understand this. I'm like 20-something years old at the time. I'm entirely way too cool, okay, to cry at this point. I mean, like way too cool. I just could not control it. And what I felt was the most amazing, amazing presence of God. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I just couldn't believe it. That was my encounter.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's encounter is different. You don't need an encounter like that. And I've known many that just said, you know what? I'm just turning my heart to God. Don't look for encounters. Don't look for different things. But I tell you, God can do whatever he wants to do in your life, but you can make it. He wants to comfort you. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. He wants to gather you close. He wants to love on you during this time. We need encouragement. We need comfort. Another one he says, don't be so downcast. Don't be so downcast. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Let me tell you something. You're going through something because you want to receive God's comfort. You want to receive God's blessing. You want to receive his encouragement. You want to turn to God, because once you've gone through this, once you've been through the other side, once you've passed through the fires and you haven't been burnt, right, once you've been thrown in the lion's den and the lion got lockjawed and he had no teeth, once you've been through this stuff, you're going to be able to go back and encourage somebody else. This is not a wasted trial. This is not a waste. Don't believe that for the enemy. You know, I like to say wear your scars as medals. You know, God can pull you through this, and he can use this testimony to encourage other people and to strengthen other people. Let me tell you, don't be silent when God does something in your life. Don't be silent when God delivers you. Don't be silent when God rescues you, because he wants you to go back. I remember when Jesus goes out and sets Legion free. Here's Legion. Mm-hmm. He's tearing up stuff, ripping up chains, cutting on himself, out of his mind.
Mm-hmm. I hear right.
Out of his mind. And Jesus comes and sets him free. It's like, you know, before Jesus, madman. Jesus arrives on the scene. He's in his right mind, sitting down, combing his hair, you know what I'm saying, fixing his collar.
Put some clothes on.
Yeah, putting some clothes on, because he was just, you know, and he had him by the sea. And so he's like, okay, Jesus, I give you my life, and I will follow you wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, no, you go back, basically, and go tell him.
Right.
Go tell them that Jesus lives. Go tell them that the same one who set you free will set them free. We're talking about in the day of trouble, in the day of disaster, in the uncertain times when things look shaky and unshaky, who can you run to? Who's the one that remains the same? It's Jesus. He is the rock. He is the sure foundation. He's the one that you can depend on. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I often say, man, I'm not in a position that I could turn down that type of love. I'm just sorry. I'm not in that place. You know, some people will forgive you. Unfortunately, they may not forget. But Jesus will not only forgive what you've done, but he'll forget. He won't even bring it up again. The Bible says that he separates your sins as far as the east is from the west. And I'm just like, man, that sounds good to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that.
Right.
I need that. And he offers that to every man. He doesn't wish that any man would perish, but that they would come into an abiding relationship. Listen, you need to have an abiding relationship. Listen, it's not about getting a tape. It's not about reading a book. It's not about, you got to have an abiding, you need to know God for yourself, and you can. You can get a simple plan at iabide.org. Get yourself a journal and start reading God's word, and get yourself a plan where you can begin to tune your ears to what the Lord wants to tell you, because he loves you. The other thing that you're going to need to survive during these times is the word of God. Mm-hmm. The word of God that's living, that's active, that's sharper than a double-edged sword, the word of God that speaks life and encouragement to you in your situation. There's nothing like the word of God.
That's right.
Man, you ever been through something where you're like, you're abiding that morning?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, how did he know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this one verse, it's like life. It's life, because it is life. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the word of God to transform you, to build you, to encourage you. Because he is the encourager. He's the great one. Mm-hmm. So you need the word of God. You need the word of God in your life. You can't skip it. And now you look at the churches, like, you know, 19% of the church is actually reading the word every day. They're abiding. That's not a good place to be at. Well, it means 80% are not spending time with God daily. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you don't want to have to face trouble to start having abiding time. Now, don't get me wrong, abide at any time that, you know, if it's trouble or not, but you don't, mm-hmm. you want to start ahead of time. You want to start ahead of time and to have a relationship with the Lord. You want to get in his word. I'm talking about unchanging. Yeah, I've been through some stuff, man, where you didn't know if you were coming or going, your head's spinning, and it's like, I just need to land somewhere safe that's steady because everything and everyone appears to be so shaky. Let me tell you, he is the one.
Right.
He's the one that changes not, right? And then you need God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
You need God's grace because there's things that you're going to be going through that you're not going to be able to go through it just alone. You're not going to be able to do it within your own strength. And one of the definitions of grace, where it's God's supernatural enablement. It's God's supernatural power, if you will, an impartation for you to do, Pat, what you couldn't do on your own.
Right.
It's like, you know, I can't even pick up my head today. I can't even go to work today. You know, I've been through stuff where, and I'm just being candid and honest with you, and I've been through stuff where I'm thinking, I don't even know if I can get out of bed today. I don't even want to look at a person. I don't want to have a conversation with anyone. Don't ask me. That's me. You know what I'm saying? I know it's just me. Like, Pat, that's never happened to you?
A couple times.
A couple times. Chris, no, maybe. He said, mm-hmm. But I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, I need grace. I need mm-hmm. grace for the place. I need grace to function. And you know what? If you cry out to him, he'll give you such supernatural enablement. He'll give you such supernatural empowerment to break it. And it's so good. He can touch you. He can bless you. He can give you what you need. Just cry out for grace. Grace is like, you know, if you've ever been to the airport and you're flying out, and they have along the hallway there seems to be like not an escalator but like a fan belt, if you will, like a belt, a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And you're walking through, and you can walk in the center aisle like everyone else,
mm-hmm.
or you can walk on this conveyor belt for maybe 30, 40 feet.
Right.
But what the conveyor belt does, it just pulls you along.
Yeah.
You can actually walk on it, and when you're walking on it, it's like your feet are just, you know, bouncing up and down. You're just flowing with it. You're just moving supernaturally, kind of. You're just flowing down, and that's what it's like. It's because you're carrying a heavy load.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's grace. Grace is an empowerment. You couldn't walk. You were tired. You went through all these airport terminals. You're carrying all these heavy bags, and like, I can't drive. You need grace. You need God's enablement to walk this thing out. You need grace to get from one concourse to the next. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. From one hope to the next. You need grace.
Amen.
You need his word. You need him. Let me tell you something. God can pull you through. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today, no matter what you are facing, put your hope in God. You can trust him, and he is there.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
How in the world do you teach a 5-year-old about life? This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and explaining the complexities of life can be challenging for a parent of young kids. VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer has some good perspective.
You have to simplify a story. You know, and we do it. We teach our kids about the police. You know, if you have a four-year-old, you teach the police very simplistically. There are guys to help you. Okay, you're never going to say, oh, but occasionally they're crooked ones. They're bad cops. And occasionally, you know, we have to investigate the police force because there's bribery. No, that's not an appropriate message for a four-year-old. A four-year-old needs it simplified. Is it 100% accurate? What you tell a four-year-old about the police? Not necessarily, but that's okay. You add more information as they get older.
You'll hear more trusted parenting wisdom from Phil Vischer when you listen to today's radio broadcast called Teaching Kids About Easter. It's at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena to de-Christianize America, but it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they had never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the confessing church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
And I want to be sharing the moment of wisdom with you today from Proverbs 12:11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Everyone wow. who works. You know, I think about, Pat, Steve, I think about, you know, oftentimes I think sometimes we can be guilty or sometimes people can get confused with thinking that because they have a job that they're actually working.
Yeah.
Job and working are not the same thing.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, think about it. It's real common for someone to say, I'm going to work today, instead of how was your job? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's commonly stated, I'm going to work.
Right.
We intermingle those two words. Mm-hmm. But there really is a big difference in having a job and doing work. I'm talking about the moment of wisdom today, that he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasy lacks judgment.
Right.
And when you think about work, this is the definition of work. You know, in view of what we just finished talking about, George Washington and the real work, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Right.
Pretty serious, but we're talking about work. It's the exertion or effort to produce or accomplish something. I like that. It's the exertion or effort to produce or accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can spend a lot of time at a job, but it doesn't mean you're producing anything.
Right.
You could be spinning your wheels. You
That's
could
right.
be, you know, just taking up time, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes that's a trap. And we shared about it in My Life, His Glory. It's a trap that sometimes believers or just people in general fall into, where maybe your job has lost its you know, excitement for you. And, mm-hmm. and now you're just going to your job and as a place, you know, to put in 8 hours, as a place to just survive, as a place that you know that if you're there 8 hours, if you make it till you know, 8 hours, that 5 o'clock, you know, quitting time, that you're going to get paid for that day.
Right.
You know, I've always liked working, you know, and I've worked for a pay for performance contract or in sales or something like that, where you work at the end of the day and you know, you may work,
mm-hmm.
but unless you're successful, unless you have done your job well, right. will determine whether you're going to be compensated mm-hmm. or not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so you have no choice. You can't fluff it. You can't just, you know, kind of just, you know, mold it through. You have to make it happen, if you will. You got to go to work with an emphasis on exerting some effort, you know, with the goal of producing and accomplishing something. And why is this important? I mean, why does God even address this? Well, I mean, he wants his people to be industrious.
Right.
I mean, work is a part of life, and it's a way that we can glorify God
right.
by what
right.
we do. And think about it. He's appointed us to go and bear fruit, much fruit.
Mm.
That's in all areas of our life.
Right.
That our life, what we do, what we're engaged in every single day, right, is mm-hmm. is a part of producing some sort of fruit. You know, I tell my children, hey, your work, right, your job, your work today is, you know, if you're going to school, that's your school work.
Mm-hmm.
You right. got to do well in it. It's not an option, not a choice, right? You got to do well. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, this is how important, it's what the Bible says, that if a man will not work,
mm-hmm.
he shall not eat.
That's right.
If a wow. man shall not work, if he will not work, mm-hmm. not that he has, you know, if he will not, it's speaking of a desire, your will, if you will not work, not if you're not able to work. There's some people that are disabled and they're not, you know, they're not able to.
Mm-hmm.
But the word of God is saying, if you will not work, you have the ability and you choose not to, then you shall not eat. And there is a reward for work. And which we're talking about, you know, a nation, we're talking about individuals. There's something rewarding about working, and we want to be industrious. We want to live this part of our life where we're contributing and adding value at whatever we're doing, because it's not about putting in time. It's not about, you know, riding the clock. It's about giving God glory in everything that you do.
Right.
And God can get glory out of your work. In fact, your work is very important to God.
Right.
And so this should change your whole perspective. I mean, the reward for work is abundant food. That's the reward for work. It says, he who works his land, you can replace the word land with job. He who works his job will have abundant food.
Right.
And so, you know, many have just fallen into a trap of just putting in the hours, you know, just put in the hours, time to make the donuts. You know what I'm saying? And Colossians 3:17 says that whatever you do, work at it with all of, you know, with everything. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men.
Right.
You can give 100% to it. You know, and we're talking about being fruitful. Nothing in life is ever accomplished without work. The greatness of our country, what we're doing for the Lord. I mean, it just, you got to be engaged in it.
Change the perspective of things.
Absolutely. And listen to what he says here. He says, but he who chases fantasies. Hello, fantasy is imagination. You know what I'm saying? Especially, it's defined as an imagination, especially with extravagant and extravagant and unrestrained. It's a mental image, especially when it's not real. A fantasy, and you know, you can't let your fantasies affect your realities. You know what I'm saying,
right?
Yeah, that's a tweetable for you. Okay, don't let your fantasies affect your realities.
That's good stuff.
Because you can fantasize all you know. I had a dream one day. I had a fantasy, okay, of being the right fielder for the New York Mets. That was a fantasy. It was an imagination.
Yes, that was a fantasy.
I thought about it. I saw myself catching the ball. I mean, I was wearing the uniform. I was there in the stadium, okay?
Right.
It was real. But there comes a point where I had to realize that fantasy, if I don't start getting studying and doing my books and doing what my parents told me to do when I was younger, that was going to affect the reality, you know what I'm saying,
of
whether I was going to do something with my life.
It's amazing because that's pretty much, that's where the majority of we are in America right now. Is that
exactly.
we're neglecting our realities because we're so consumed in our fantasies. So because of that, we're losing our reality.
Hello. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
you look at the amount of young people that, you know, this is the dilemma that hits the person that is chasing a fantasy, and they're continually going back to school, getting degree upon degree upon degree, because the idea of a good job one day is better than the reality of working any job for the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
One day I'm going to be something important one day, you know, and they'll talk about it, and it's okay for that talk when you're in college and you're training and you're learning and you're being studious and you're in an apprenticeship. It's okay to dream. It's because you're working towards that dream. You know, you're applying work, you're applying effort, you're accomplishing your grades. But it's another thing when you're still dreaming and you still got no jobby. You know what I'm saying? You still ain't working.
J-O-B.
Yeah, I got no J-O-B. And now your fantasy is affecting your reality that the power bill's not going to get paid. That it's affecting the reality that people are not going to eat. That's affecting the reality that your mortgage is not going to be paid, you know? And the idea is that we need not be ones that chase fantasies, but we need to be one that has a vision for the realities and have a purpose and a vision for our life. It says that he who chases fantasies, the word of God, Proverbs 12:11, he who works his land will have abundant food and food provision, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. And judgment is the ability to judge and make decisions. You need wisdom You know, I often say this, that the word of God says it, when you thought like a child, you reasoned like a child, but when you became a man, you pulled away, you know, pulled off childish ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time that we walk in the realities of God. Now, I want to encourage you, you know, if you're working right now and you're not just at a job, but you're being industrious, you're producing, you're giving effort to have an accomplished goal, then you're doing good. I would encourage you to do your work unto the Lord, and you'll see the blessings and the reward of work. And if you're one that struggled with fantasies and you know you have these goals, let me tell you, it's okay. It's okay. I was just speaking to someone the other day. It's okay to work a present reality that's not as awesome as your fantasy. Because what's real awesome is that you are productive in life, that you're adding value, that you are taking care of your responsibilities as the Lord would want you to take care of your responsibilities. So the wisdom moment, the moment of wisdom for today is found in Proverbs 12:11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lack judgment. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
Man, I know that you listen to VFN Radio.
Every day, like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to see, I hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning. Man, it's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and to hear what, you know, the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. You know, he's hilarious. You come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that it's everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say? You know, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as, I mean, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the VFN Radio. I you know, I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to hear the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, it starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. Yeah. All, you know, these prophetic words,
yeah, well, we like
that
to
are coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities that we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in, and that you're plugging in others.
Yeah.
You know, because we, you know, who knows how long we have left. I mean, to use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord, and get a fresh word. We always say that.
You're right. You know, I said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we gotta live for God like he's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving him, then serve him all the way. Dive in head first. And just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through and how he saved me from death at 33. And how he's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like,
that's a beautiful journey,
You know, there's just no way that I could have been. I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely gonna get your testimony for VFN
Radio.
Oh,
I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. That just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. John.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a time that I was just bound. I had so many things happening, and just, I felt so restrained. And, you know, I know God's word tells us that we're, you know, he's came to unbind us, to be able to set us free. And I just felt just oppressed and just bound. And I thought, you know, what can I do about this? And then I figured, you know what? I'm just going to get a bigger pair of pants. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and move up from size 28 to 29. And it was amazing, man. I felt so free when I actually decided to say, you know, it's time to move up in size. We got to let the 28s go. You know, it was totally amazing. No longer bound. I am free.
Rebuilding is one thing, your physical home and your place. But you know what? There's storms of life that happen to all of us. It's not just me necessarily, the physical storms. Mm-hmm. There's all the storms of life that happen, and the word of God's not silent. You know, in Matthew 7, verses of 24, it's a parable talking about the wise and foolish builders. Mm-hmm. And it says that, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's interesting that he says, everyone who hears the word and puts it into practice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hearing is not just enough.
Right.
You know, and I believe we talked about VFN Torch, hear, and do. If you, that's if right. you have not listened to hear, do, you've got to listen to it.
Right. Yeah, it was just on yesterday.
Exactly. Exactly. So, so beautiful and so timely. But you just don't want to be a hearer of God's word. You actually want to do what God's word says.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that oftentimes many people are just, they think that you can just listen. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you got to do something with what you listen. You're going to be held accountable for what you know.
That's right.
So it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So if you want to be wise, you got to hear what God is saying, and you want to implement and obey what he tells you to do. When you do that, you're setting yourself a right foundation for your own life. Mm-hmm. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Mm. I mean, we see firsthand as an image and as a picture, and you look at the devastation. The house is completely ripped up. Mm-hmm. The Jersey boardwalk is completely just torn to pieces. All you see are the pilings left. And the beaches in New Jersey are different than maybe in Florida and some of the other parts of the country, where, you know, in Florida I'm familiar with just sandy beaches and nothing else. But the beaches in New Jersey, they have sandy beaches as well as an entire boardwalk, almost like a fair atmosphere where there's rides and all types of stuff on, you know, on the edge of the beach. All of that, most of that there has been just totally wiped away. And so storms come in life, not just physical storms, but there's storms that come in your own personal life. You know, Jesus said himself, Jesus said, in this life you'll have many troubles.
Right.
But cheer up, because I have overcome the world. And so, you know, you may not know what tomorrow holds, but at least if you know Jesus Christ, you'll know the one that holds tomorrow. And with that should bring you great peace and great solace, because you need to know God. You need to build your own personal house on a solid rock, on a solid foundation. Let me tell you, these times are shaky. These times right now are turbulent. Let me tell you, I want to give you hope. You want to make it through the storms of life. You want to make it through all types of situations, right?
That's
attacks.
Right.
You want to build your personal house on Jesus Christ. And you do that by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. You do that by putting receiving him in your heart. You do that by abiding.
Right.
Okay? And so it's so important. So he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into, there it is, Pat.
Practice.
Is a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. There is a difference here. The difference is hearing God's word and putting it into practice.
Right.
You know what? That's abiding.
Mm-hmm.
It's abiding. You know, storms in life are going to come. You can endure these storms. The waters may come. Things may happen. And you may suffer some loss. But you're still going to remain intact. You know what I mean? You're still going to remain together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you something. Only Jesus Christ can keep you together. And it's not an idea of knowing of Jesus or about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've talked about this a lot. It's about having a personal relationship.
That's right.
You know, I'm sorry. All answers, you know, they say all roads lead to Rome. You know, all answers lead to Jesus. You
That's
know what
right.
I'm saying? There isn't another option. There isn't a plan B. There isn't an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Word of God says that he is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. No man comes to the Father except through him.
That's right.
And so it's so important that we say, you know what? I just don't want to survive the storms of life. I just don't want to just make it through.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want to have an abiding relationship with God. I want to know him. I'm not happy or content to know about him. And one of the ways that you can begin to put his word into practice, you can't put God's word into practice if you don't read God's word.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's like, how can the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed?
That's right.
How can you walk with God? How can you have a relationship with God? You know, to some who may be listening today, that you're saying, oh, man, amen, go on. This is so good, or this is just a confirmation, or I get this. But believe you me, there are many out there that right now just think that just having maybe an idea of Christ or just believing that he exists is enough.
Right.
And so I want to encourage you, accept him into your life. Make him the Lord of your life. Walk with him and abide with him, and he'll see you every step of the way.
Well, you know, when I was in the Navy back in 1812, you know, when we were putting the sails up in the Navy,
all right,
we can sail the five seas. You know, that's a graduate school system today. There's seven seas. And so I was stationed in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Give a shout out to our Brooklyn listeners there. And, and of course, you don't have a lot of home cooking when you're in the. They did cook a lot of food, but it just wasn't home cooking. But I found out because I would ride a bus from Brooklyn Shipyard, mm-hmm. and I would ride it to the subway, and then I'd catch the subway over into Manhattan. I'd get out about 33rd Street, something like that, by the USO, and I'd walk over to the Avenue of Americas, I guess, because they had a restaurant there
mm-hmm.
called Bojangles Chicken. Oh my goodness! I'd eat their chicken, okay, but their biscuits. Oh,
that's old school. Bojangles is old school. I don't even know if they're still around, but
they are because I was just coming back with Donna from our anniversary, and and we saw a Bojangles. That's why I'm talking about it.
Oh,
and it was still just good, and I'm like. I'm trying to convince Donna. Right?
Yeah, we need the car.
Let's go eat at this chicken joint.
Yeah, right.
She looks at me like, "What? No, this is Bojangles." It's like, and then finally, right. She conceded. You know, she's like, "Okay," you know. And we went there, and we both enjoyed it. But anyway, so they cook their biscuits like with yeast, and they got this real fluffy, bready biscuit that's so good. So you know, I'm young. I'm in the Navy, and just wanted some of those biscuits, and so I go down there. And go out to catch buses and subways. And at that time, the streets weren't as safe as they are today
on
New York.
Safe.
Oh, believe me, it was a bit different than then. Anyway, so then I get to Bojangles and I order a whole box of biscuits. I'm at like six or eight biscuits. I'm just going to eat biscuits. I'm just going to eat these biscuits, you know. That's back when I had a 28 waist. Look what biscuits do to you. Right. Anyway, remind me to tell you about my doctor's visit. Anyway, so he they give me this big box of biscuits. And at that time, there was a mansion that somebody had donated to the military. Mm-hmm. It was that was right there, I think, on the Avenue of Americas. And you could stay there for like $12.
Wow.
You know, but it was just like, you know, communal type, these big, huge, you know, a mansion in New York is huge as it is, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, but it had these huge, you know, 16-foot ceilings and this old libraries and these big, huge rooms. There's no doors on the place, you know, and it was on the different bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. But you had several different racks, old metal beds, you know, in there. But, you know, for going to the city, you could stay and survive, you know, stay in the city for like $12 or something. And so I ate all these biscuits. I ate all these biscuits, and I'm like, oh, man, they were so good. I enjoyed every one of them. And so then I go to the mansion, you know, eventually get to the mansion thing. And I go there, I give my $12 or whatever it was. And I go, and there's a rack in this room, a bed, and several of them. There's, like, a lot of different rooms in there. And you can hear hard floors. You can hear, like, things echoing in there. Uh-huh. And I was laying in this bed, John. I was laying in this bed, you know, as a young sailor. Mm-hmm. I'd eaten, I don't know, 8 biscuits. It could have been more than that.
Right.
And the yeast that they use in their biscuits rises, and then you eat it. But they didn't fully rise yet.
Oh, okay.
And so I have these pound of biscuits.
Oh, my goodness.
In this young stomach, and all of a sudden, man, those biscuits began to rise.
Oh, no.
I know it, man. I'm sitting here in this huge, hollow-sounding, 16-foot, no-door, 15,000-rack, $12 night. And all you could hear was like, oh! They just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm like, I'm going to die.
Oh,
so you cannot say I can't empathize what it's like. To have a baby, because I think this thing was just growing bigger. I mean, it just got bigger. I'm thinking, it's not going to stop. I'm going to blow wide open. And so I just wanted to share with you.
Did they throw you out?
I got a chance to go to Bojangles Biscuits. But Bojangles Biscuits, Bojangles Chicken, when Don and I were coming back. And but I got good news for you. I had 2 pieces of chicken.
And how many biscuits?
And I had 1 biscuit.
Oh, wow.
That's wisdom. Right?
It was good. It was good. It was good. But I know better than that now. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.